Snack Bar Games Podcast.
Welcome to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. This is 10th episode with a new crew, episode 210. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Fine.
Doing all right.
Yeah, so in this episode, we're going to go through all the recent news, talk about what we've been playing, and also take a look at the big holiday titles and what games have our holiday cash. Let's start out with some news, though. Sean, take it away.
All right, first things first, the big thing is Xbox 360 TV is finally coming. In the holiday update, it'll have something like 38 different providers worldwide, including Comcast and Verizon. So people who have Comcast and Verizon will actually be able to watch their stuff through that instead of a cable box.
I don't know what you guys think about this, but it to me feels just like a half measure. You know, like, they really could have made the Xbox into a cable box. Like, you could watch TV channels through it. But this feels like content deals. It seems like you're going to have, you know, at least for a lot of this, you're going to have gold and already pay for the service. I wish this were a way to watch things instead of paying for, say, cable TV, as opposed to just another box you can watch it through.
Yeah, so far the only one that's confirmed you'll need to use gold for is HBO Go and something else. I don't remember what it was. But most of them, they said that if it's something that you pay for separately, then you'll be able to watch it without gold.
Yeah, the whole thing's just frustrating to me, though, because I know, at least with HBO Go and other platforms, see, I have Time Warner because where I live, I don't have a choice. And even though Time Warner owns HBO, you can't use HBO Go with Time Warner in a lot of situations, and I don't know. It's just a little frustrating. You know, it seems like with all the rumors of the past few months about, you know, TV on your Xbox, this didn't feel like what I was hoping for.
Yeah, I'm just hoping I can watch sci-fi shows on demand at some point.
Yeah, well, you know, you can do that with Hulu Plus right now, I think, but... Yeah,
I like Hulu Plus. In other news, Stalker 2 is using a new kind of DRM, our favorite word, which is going to be server-side streaming. Texts, quests, and code will all be downloaded to your computer as you go. So there's no way to, according to them, there's no way to pirate it because you have to be connected to their servers to get the content from them as you continue in the game.
Now, Matt, what do you think about that? Because I feel like we'll have a similar opinion about this.
I think that they always say there's no way to pirate this, and then something happens where it becomes there is a way. I can't wait to see what it is. That's how I feel about it.
I can already think of one way to do it myself. I'm not going to broadcast it. But as a programmer myself, I can think of at least two ways to do it, and neither one would be very difficult for pirates to do.
Seems like if they're streaming from a server, they could probably set up some other server.
Yeah,
I mean, but my only issue with stuff like this is it tends to only hurt people who buy it legitimately. Mm-hmm. You know, it means they can't play it offline and all that, which I don't think that's that big of a deal, but I think it's more of a big deal on PC where you can kind of take it with you places than console where there's really no excuse to, you know, unplug it if you're going to have it ever plugged in.
I think it's a bigger deal for a game like Stalker because unless they radically decide to include in, like, a multiplayer mode, Stalker is mostly single player. So
right.
having a single player game be constantly online only without any disturbance at all is, like, I don't know. I don't see the point.
Yeah, I think that what really hurts me about all this is that, like, you know, MMOs and things like that, you know, if we wanted to come back to this game in 10, 15 years, which, I mean, this is what I was talking to you, Matt. Like, you know, games, like, I love going back to older games, and it's a lot of fun to do that. And but the thing is with, you know, MMOs and now with this kind of thing where they're streaming it, you know, it has the same problem as online games like that. You can't play the game, or at least you can't play the game in the form it was before. You know, Stalker 2 is going to be just as playable to people as, I don't know, Satellaview games.
Yeah, it's just like the whole, you know, people buying games that are download only. Like, it's great, and when done right, like when the way Valve does it, it'll save you a lot of money. But you are not buying a game to own anymore. You're renting a license to play this game for as long as you're allowed to. Like, what was it? Was it last year or this year with the Ninja Turtles game on XBLA? That was a $15 game people bought. Some people had to delete it to save room on their hard drive. And they thought they had the option to download it at any time, but then they took it off of Xbox Live, and now it's gone. And that game you paid $15 for is gone forever. Or if your console gets bricked or someone messes with your account, anything can happen, and you don't own that game anymore that you paid anywhere between $1 and $60.
And nothing of value was lost.
That's not true. There's a lot of good games on download.
What about the Irem games? They were pulled also off of PSN.
Yeah.
The what games?
Irem. The company went out of business, so they pulled all the
games off PSN. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, though I have to say, with a lot of those games, you can still download them if you've already purchased them. I know at least a lot of the stuff they delisted it, you know, for a license purpose, they can't sell them to you anymore, but if you go into your list of purchases, I mean, it's an obnoxious way to do it. But most of those are still, you can still find them in some ways, and
And the Iron
also games, the Turtles in Time remake.
The games aren't a big loss anyway, since there's physical copies available of those games. They're not just digital only.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing with Stalker is that now people who have bandwidth caps, because that's becoming more and more common, might have issues playing that game too.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be frustrating, especially if, you know, there are outages. You know, everybody gets mad when, you know, Xbox Live or Steam is, you know, down or something, but, like, the Stalker could be down. Like, what do you do? Yeah. Like, well, we don't have Stalker for the next 3 weeks. Well, I bought this game. Anyway. What else you got?
Ubisoft thing with when, was it Assassin's Creed 1 or 2 that came out initially, and the login server for the game was down for a while, and just no one could play the game?
Yeah, I think that was Assassin's Creed 2 on PC.
This is a depressing conversation.
Well, let's be less depressing then and talk about the appearance of PSN game or PS2 games on PSN rather.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry, I know you're an expert in that. Jerry picked up all five.
I already bought every single one.
Oh, you did? I bought one of them.
I might buy one of them.
I will be spending $60 though for that thing.
Oh, yeah. In case you don't know, there's a promotion for the month of October. If you spend $60 on PSN, you get a $10 credit in November. And I know I'm going to hit that 60 pretty quickly. I think, Jerry, have you already hit it?
No, I'm at 50.
Okay.
Yeah. I can pretty much buy anything at this point, and I'll get the 60.
Right. So, Jerry, have you gotten a chance to play all five of the PS2 classics?
I haven't played all of them, but I did. But I did already start up God Hand just to re-experience that a little bit.
Me too. I was experiencing it for the first time.
Oh yeah, I mean, one of the things I like about the titles that were specifically picked is that most of them are games that a lot of people just either completely passed on or didn't know come out until, you know, it was rare everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm actually legitimately surprised that they didn't pick, like, a downloadable God of War game, though I know there's the HD version of that, but, you know, the common AAA titles for the PS2 era, and instead they just went for the more niche, very rare, harder to find these days kind of games.
I think it's interesting.
That approach at least for a little while longer.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long they're going to do that, but I agree with you that it initially surprised me that they didn't, say, put out Jack and Daxter or, mm-hmm. you know, Twisted Metal Black or, you know, just something that seems really obvious. But I think
well,
the reason
it didn't
they
surprise
did
me because these games aren't coming out on a disc to be sold in HD collection like Jack and Daxter or Shadow of the Colossus or the Sly Cooper games. Like, these are games they could, that they know they'll never do that for. Especially
their,
yeah, none of them are part of a series. They're all just one entry. And they're games that they could charge $10 for on PSN, but can't put, they like, what are they going to put God Hand onto a Blu-ray disc with? You know?
God Hand.
Okami.
God Hand is good enough to put on a Blu-ray on its own.
I agree, but do you think, like, I haven't even seen No More Heroes, the PS3 remake that they made.
It's not popular opinion, but yeah, God Hand is good enough. Though, I guess they could always do, like, if Clover were still around, they could do, like, a Clover HD collection with God Hand, Okami, and, say, Beautiful Joe.
That would be so awesome. That sounds like the best combination ever.
Yeah. So,
but who would buy it is the problem.
Me. Just me. I pre-order it.
But yeah, when I started looking at these games a little further, I think I realized why they put these five out first. It's because I think if they put out those common games, even the ones that aren't necessarily going to be in HD collections, I think there'd be a little bit of a backlash for those people that invested in the backwards compatible PS3s. And with these five games, they're generally harder to find games, so that even when you can get them, they're probably more than $10, or you just can't track them down. So it's a good investment for those people who were early adopters. And so they're allowed, you know, a lot of the argument against having PS2 classics on the service was that, you know, a decent portion of people could play them anyway. I think this is a good way to ease in to really letting that happen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my local Game Emporium had
Game Emporium.
Yeah, Game Emporium.
Don't disrespect my place of business.
Yeah, my local store had a copy of Grim Grimoire for like the longest time, and it's always priced at least $30 to $40. So
really,
so
really,
yeah. I've seen that at CEX anymore. Lately for like $5. I never picked it up
for free.
So yeah, that's why the moment that I saw it pop on the store for $10, I knew that was like rewarding me for not picking it up for not paying the overpriced price tag on that thing.
Yeah, well, that worked out. You got anything else, Sean?
Well, we also have the news that I'm sure everyone's aware of is Steve Jobs passed away this past week.
Aww.
And he didn't have a huge impact on the game industry directly, but without him creating the iOS devices, obviously there wouldn't be an iOS gaming market.
Yeah, you know, he really seems to have inadvertently changed the gaming industry a few times. I mean, we can talk about iOS and how that's really opened up indie development.
Guys, he made the Mac.
That's what I was going to say. Or we could go back to the Apple II, which was really, at the time, you know, kind of a big gaming system. I know, you know, maybe not quite our generation. It's a little earlier, but
that's what you did in schools all the time. You'd play Carmen Sandiego or Oregon Trail on a Mac, Apple II.
Well, also, you got to think about how being available on a Mac opened World of Warcraft to an entire, you know, selection of people who wouldn't play it, who also don't play a lot of other games, therefore have a lot of time to play a lot of World of Warcraft. Like many, pretty much every Mac owner I know has played WoW at some point, or still plays it.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah, like, I love my Mac, and I love my WoW on my Mac. Well, I haven't played it in a while, but,
you know, yeah.
Actually, a lot of MMOs go to Mac. Like, that's pretty much the most common kind of game you can find on a Mac. Like, City of Heroes went to Mac. I don't remember if Guild Wars was on Mac. I don't think it is. But some other stuff like that.
Yeah, and, you know, we can talk about, you know, I mean, I think, you know, over the past couple of days, we've definitely seen a lot of tributes to, you know, his contribution to old-style gaming or to the iOS. But I really think one thing that's kind of overlooked is his, you know, his work leading Pixar and really helping them out. And I think even though that was, you know, it was movies and not games, I think that form of 3D animation really worked in a way that allowed for, you know, for computer animated things to have their own style. Before that, it was really just trying to become more and more realistic, and I don't think that really led to, like, a good product. And I think we've really seen that in games, like, you know, I don't think Ratchet and Clank would really exist the way it is.
That's Pixar. Actually a really good point. Like, think about when Toy Story came out, which, and at the time, 3D imaging was pretty much used for video games.
Right.
So, like, there had to be, I'm sure that id Software, whoever, went to see Toy Story and was like, well, shit, we got to up our game. You know, after now that this is a thing that people are going to sit down and watch for 2 hours, and our thing they're going to stare at for 15 to 40 hours, we need to make that look better. And that probably made a lot of game companies, that probably had a lot to do with Sony's decision to not make 2D games for the PlayStation for a while, you know, and stuff like that was happening around that time.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
But, I mean, you know, I can't say too much about Steve Jobs that hasn't already been said. Yeah.
I miss him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Sean, you got anything else, or is that it?
That was it, pretty much.
All right. So, well, before we get into our main topic, let's talk about what we've been playing. Matt, why don't you kick us off here?
I have no problem doing that. Actually, I want to go last. I've had a change of pace. I've been playing actually kind of a lot this week because I've been neglecting sleep and also playing some handheld stuff. So, Graham, let's start with you. So we can let you rest after talking.
Well, I've been playing two games mainly, Guardian Heroes, which I can't talk about, and NBA Jam on Fire Edition, which I can.
Ooh, yeah, I haven't picked that up yet, but that's going to be part of my $60 this month.
Yeah, so NBA Jam on Fire Edition, it's a lot like last year's NBA Jam. It's a little more focused, I think that's the best way to put it. They've gotten rid of all the boss battles and the weird, like, half-court segments and all that remix tour stuff that I think, you know, they tried to do some interesting things, but it didn't really land that well in last year's game. And you know, they've embraced the fact that it's a $15 downloadable title. You know, there was going to be a downloadable version last year, but, you know, with the whole NBA Elite thing, that kind of went off the rails. So this time they focused on the main game. They didn't change too much about it, but they put in a lot, you know, they put in some extra trick shots and, you know, a little more razzle-dazzle moves, you know, because they added those to last year's installment. I think people liked that a lot. But I think the easiest way to describe what they did to this is they tried a little less to make it nostalgic for people who played the old game and more to make it a good game now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, sure, they have a lot of the same unlockable characters from, like, 92, 93 that are...
Bill Clinton? You know, is Bill Clinton in it?
There's totally Bill Clinton in this game.
Awesome. Can I play Bill Clinton with Big Head Mode?
You can play Bill Clinton with Big Head Mode. That's still there.
Is there any other way to play him?
Sure.
When we were starting...
Biggest Head Mode.
I was in a sketch group called Mini Boss because we did, like, nerd comedy and stuff.
Yeah.
And for a while, we were going to be called Big Head Mode.
Yeah, well, anyway... so they added in tag mode, which was in the old console versions of the games. There's been a little backlash about that for people who only played the arcade version, but personally I find it to be great. I mean, I'd much rather play together in a team with someone, but if you're playing by yourself, it's kind of frustrating that, you know, if you want to, you can't control the other guy. It's a little harder to pull off alley-oops with tag mode on, but it's still interesting. But instead of having those obtuse unlockables in the original game, I don't know if you guys have experienced that, but they put in like a progression system where you just earn coins to buy things in a store, which I think works fine. I know in the original game there were a lot of things like, I just want this one character, but he's stuck behind this thing where I have to get 50 blocks in a game. Just like, what? the game is not long enough for that. Like, you pretty much have to, like, get three people to pick up controllers and just, like, throw it in the exact way for you to be able to keep knocking them down. But now, like, you know, hey, you want Alonzo Mourning first. You get Alonzo Mourning first. By the way, I want Alonzo Mourning first.
Is Will Smith in it still?
No, he wasn't in last year's game. And a lot of the old celebrities that were, you know, Midway licensees, you know, like Randall Cunningham was in the original games and things like that. But it's because they had a football game he was, you know, on the mm-hmm. cover for. But uh-huh. they do have a lot of things in here. There's an NBA Street Team, which I think is cool. Because it has, like, stretch, and that's great. And also, for some reason, and I can't figure out why, they decided to add in four EuroLeague teams. Now, I mean, I don't really know why they're there, but the fact that I can beat people down with Maccabi Tel Aviv is just great.
Are the Washington Generals in it?
They are not in it.
That's what I was telling people the pre-order bonus was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no one got it. Everyone's coming in to buy NBA 2K into Gameporium, and I'm like, yeah, did you pre-order it? And they're like, what do I get? And I said, it's two teams. I forget what teams, though. So I just kept saying the Washington Generals. And no one knew what I was talking about, and I was like, I'm old. All right. yeah. But Will Smith is, like, my favorite unlockable character ever next to the NASCAR from FighterZ Megamix.
What?
In FighterZ Megamix on the Sega Saturn. It's a fighting game, and you can unlock a NASCAR that just stands upright on its tires and punches people with his tires. Yeah, I think it's the same game with Pepsi Man in it, too, before he got his own game.
Yeah, and I'll let the other guys talk about what they've been playing, but I wanted to mention, since you bring up the Saturn and a race car, there is a secret announcement of a Sega game that's coming out at the end of the month, and no one knows what it is except for it's Daytona USA.
No one knows except for Daytona US. No one knows except for the guy that sings the song.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like, oh, it's a secret and we'll announce it later, but here's a hint. And it's just like the opening sounds of a race from Daytona USA. It's like, but that's not really clever.
Daytona.
Yep.
Persona. John, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of the Game of Thrones strategy game on Steam.
Oh, how is it? I have a coworker who's really excited for that.
It is, it's good. It doesn't have any multiplayer to speak of right now, unfortunately, because no one else owns it, apparently. But it would lend itself very well to multiplayer. And it's a very nice take on a strategy game where war isn't the overriding concern in the game. It's more about getting a certain amount of prestige, which you can get through peaceful means or military means.
Right, Sean, yeah, I was reading your review, which goes up later this week, and it seemed to me like, as a person who likes strategy games and also likes, you know, likes real-time strategy games and war games, but also likes games like Civ, it seems like this is maybe a good medium for that. Like, it's a real-time strategy game, but like Civ, it seems to have war, but not necessarily be about it.
Yeah, that's correct. It's also much slower paced than most real-time strategy games. You do need.
Oh God!
It's slower than I started. It's still fast paced enough that if you don't know what you're doing, you will get completely slaughtered. And you have to make sure that what you're doing is going to improve your abilities to win. If you make a mistake, you will be punished severely.
But you're saying that it's not.
It's
a candidate
not, it's
for
not,
esports.
No, it's not like Twitch-based game like Command & Conquer or StarCraft have become.
That'd be cool if that was an esport. If people started
Command & Conquer
that.
Or StarCraft?
No, the one you're talking about.
Oh.
It's not Lord of the Rings. I can't think of it. It's game that's of all that my head is telling me. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
What?
What?
Yes, the Game of Thrones.
They should make more games based on books. Dante's Inferno was great.
Oh,
also,
gosh.
Anyone who's a fan of Game of Thrones should know that they are also making an RPG based off of it that'll come out next year.
Matt, you know, they made El Shaddai.
What about that?
It's
based on a book.
It's based on a book.
Based on the best book.
Yeah.
Which book. I haven't read yet. I plan to eventually.
Did you ever see when they... You know how they put out those books with, like, movie covers and they make a movie out of it?
Right.
Yes.
They did that with Dante's Inferno with the game cover. So it's done. It's the book. It's the Divine Comedy, Dante's Inferno. But on the cover is like a dude with a whip, like choking a dragon or something. And I know there's gonna be some 14-year-old who bought that. I'm just like, what the f-? Like, he'll get like 300 pages into it. And like, all
right, right.
When do I pound square?
Now, you know that's one of those things that only happens because no one can own the rights to Dante's Inferno anymore. You know, like Game of Thrones, they wouldn't have done that had they messed that up so badly in a game. But just like, yeah, there's no one stopping them. You know what? That
might
gives me some really good ideas for book to game adaptations. You just got to use something that's in the public domain.
Or what's a really good way to do a game to book?
Scarlet
adaptation.
Letter first person shooter.
Yes. No, Scarlet Letter dating sim. there was, or no, because then the way to do it is like have it like inspired by the book, or just reflect the themes of the book, but give it a more actiony thing, like BioShock.
Yeah,
like that. I think that's the best way to adapt anything. You know,
like BibleShock.
BibleShock. I play BibleShock.
Yep.
Like how. Point-and-click game. A what point-and-click? I'm sorry.
Time Machine.
That? Oh, no! Why isn't that a game? Holy crap, you just blew my mind. That would be, so many novels would work as great point-and-clicks.
Yes, no.
That would absolutely, yeah.
I want to go back in time and
why
make
is
someone...
of the Worlds, War of the Worlds not an action-adventure game yet, too?
That'd be so goddamn...
The thing is, you need to find a book that would make a really bad point and click.
Scarlet Letter?
What's a
Moby Dick?
Bad point and click.
Moby Dick, yes.
Yeah, Moby Dick. Click on the whale.
Done. Game. Jerry, what have you been playing, man?
Yeah.
I've been banging a lot because, you know, Dark Souls.
How are you liking that?
Oh, I did something terrible about Dark Souls today at work. Someone traded in the special edition, and since there's no SKU for the special edition, I just traded in the regular game, and I stole all the stuff that made it a special edition. Well, I didn't steal it, but we do that stuff all the time. We're terrible. At Gameporium. And it's a really crappy special edition.
Yeah, it is.
It's just a flimsy tin case, like a kind that you get cookies or candies in. The worst art book ever, and then a code for some DLC that I don't care about.
It's not DLC, but it's like it's
well, it's downloadable. It's not for the game, yeah.
It's a digital version of the soundtrack and the guide. The guide being a 20-page preview of the real guide.
Uh huh. All right, you talk about video games. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting. Graham gave me the reins, and I just ripped them out of his hand, and I was like, it's the Matt J show.
Yeah, but Dark Souls, it's good. It's really good.
Is it hard?
Yeah, it is. It starts out hard because, you know, the thing from Software does with their games, that they usually just toss you into their games without any type of documentation or explanation, and they just tell you, press this button to do this, press this button to do that, and you're on your own.
And now you die.
Yeah, and then you're dying again and again. And at least, I don't know, as a follow-up to Demon's Souls, it's obviously the mechanically better game. It has much more abilities you can do. The magic system is much more fleshed out. Like, there's much more variety to the enemies. There's many more locations, bosses. I absolutely love the consistent open world. Like, the only time you'll ever see a load screen in Dark Souls is if you actually die and you have to reload back at your last bonfire, which is basically a checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, I haven't seen many other games in this gen that actually do consistent open world very well.
And have you been taking advantage of the massively single-player aspect of it?
Have you been becoming a Black Phantom and killing people?
You can kill people in it?
Yeah.
I think you could just leave them, like, notes and stuff.
No. There are... You can invade other people and kill them in their game.
Yeah, no, that brings up something. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but before launch, people started showing up online before the game was out, so they were obviously getting the through illicit means. So the From Software team brought started using incredibly high level characters and just going and killing people who got the game too early, just intentionally going in their games and slaughtering them.
I see that more as a reward than a punishment. That's gonna be those people that broke Street Date to get Demon Soul or to get Dark Souls, they wanted that. They were probably yes.
I would have loved to have been one of those people.
Yeah, be one of those people just bathed in blood, you're trembling, you're just barely standing, yes, this is what I wanted.
My only two complaints, if you will, so far about the game are related to the online, the transition between the online play and Demon's Souls to the one in Dark Souls, and the game mechanically is good, but technically, some areas have some of the worst frame rate I've ever seen in a video game.
Yeah.
I haven't seen another game where the frame rate goes down to single digits just for climbing down a ladder. Even Dark Souls wasn't as bad when things got hectic, and Demon's Souls wasn't as bad when it got hectic in the game.
Matt, what have you been playing?
I've been playing all kinds of stuff, mainly Space Marine.
Right.
So it's Robo, Shadow of the Colossus, and God Hand. And I will be nice to you guys and only talk about one of those games. So what game do you want to talk about?
I want to hear how the Ico Shadow of the Colossus collection is fared in HD. All
right. So the thing is, I don't know if I've talked about this podcast, but Ico and Shadow of the Colossus are two of my favorite games ever. Mostly Shadow of the Colossus, just because I've been playing it for years. I only got my hands on Ico recently. But I love this game. I played Shadow of the Colossus several times. And I was excited for this collection, but I still own both of them on PS2. What I don't know is an HD TV. So to put those games in HD wasn't enough for me to buy the game. There had to be something else in there. And as for how these collections have been faring so far, it's pretty much just been we packed these onto a Blu-ray. That's it. And that's what I expected. And then I played it. And first when you open it, the... cover art is reversible. So,
right.
From the second you open it, you're already pleased with the fact that you're holding this thing in your hand. And then I put it in, and before I even played the game, it comes up in your on the PS3 as two discs, and disc two is all featurettes. It's got themes for your PS3, so now I have Shadow of the Colossus dynamic theme, but then it's got featurettes about the making of the game, and it's incredibly fascinating, to see... the creators of the game and Team Ico and I can't remember the name of the guy that made the games, but to see him talk about the games and to find all these little trivia nuggets where he talks about how like they went right from Ico to Shadow of the Colossus. The game wasn't even out yet before they started making, or Ico wasn't even out yet before they started developing Shadow of the Colossus, and both of the, I think, well, just the Ico one, the Ico, the video that he pitched it with, he pretty much made himself. And it looked pretty much like how the game looks. You know, it was this beautiful video he made by himself. And then little things Shadow of the Colossus started out as an online game when they first started making it.
Right.
And stuff like that is a big video game trivia nerd I love. And I think that this thing is a wonderful collection. And anyone who has played both the games or has played one of them or hasn't played either and is curious about it should definitely pick it up. And it's pretty cheap, so don't even worry about just buying it.
All right.
It's really good. Yeah, I don't need to tell you that the games are amazing because they're fucking incredible. They're incredible, and it's hard to tell. They pretty much just put it up in HD, which can make some things look amazing and some things look worse. Where the characters kind of end up looking like puppet armatures, just these pointy little, because it's just the PS2 thing.
Right.
You can see it more clearly. And also, I've read that Wander in Shadow of the Colossus falls over more in this edition. I think it's true. Because he totally falls down a lot. I don't remember it being this annoying to climb a Colossus. But it's still amazing. It's God, to stand on top of a Colossus's head and realize you can see forever is a good feeling.
Yeah, well, definitely, if you haven't checked that out, it sounds like a good one.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on to our main topic of the episode, and that is, it's the holiday season, and way too many games are coming out than we can afford. So I thought we'd talk about what we're looking forward to, what's getting our gaming dollar between now and the end of the year.
We aren't even done with October, and I'm already spent.
That said, you did spend something over $100 last week.
I did too, because I bought a headset.
Yeah.
And games are just piling up here.
The stuff I prioritize for my budget is like all early October, late November, so I don't have to spend as much later in the year.
Yeah. So, you know, I thought we'd just go through and talk about some of the games that are, you know, really we're looking forward to. And, Sean, how about we start with you? What are your big games of the holidays?
Well, I probably have three or four that I'm definitely going to be getting.
Okay.
On top of them all is Elder Scrolls Skyrim.
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That probably has enough in it to not really need to get anything else, just because it's going to take me a year to beat it.
Yeah, so you're going to get really Skyrim.
But I'm going to get everything else anyway.
Right, so you're going to get Skyrim, and what games are going to be sitting collecting dust on your shelf while you're playing Skyrim?
Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary.
Okay.
Because Halo's awesome, and I want to see it in HD for the original one.
Let me ask you, mm-hmm. how much did you play the original one?
The original one, I played, it didn't have Xbox Live at the time, so you could play it on System Link or on one system. It was pretty much the basis of all my socialization my senior year of high school.
Yeah. I think that's going to be interesting. Now, let me ask you, as someone who's a little deeper into the Halo series than I think the rest of us are, is the original really like an, you know, a more coherent story, or do you think they're going to revisit Halo 2 at some point? I'm just curious because, you know, it seems like if they're going to remake Halo, then Halo 2 seems to be this one, like, empty spot in between that we don't have on the current systems.
I expect they will probably remake Halo 2 simply because of how many people were upset when they turned off Xbox Live for Halo 2.
Right.
I mean, even after Halo 3 was released, they still had hundreds of thousands of people playing Halo 2 each month.
Yeah.
So I expect to see it again in 2 or 3 years, probably after Halo 4 comes out. Then, after that, I have to get Uncharted 3, even though I haven't finished Uncharted 2 yet.
What? You haven't finished Uncharted 2?
It's in my system right now.
I finished it the day after it came out.
I hadn't played Uncharted yet when it came out.
It's so Uncharted 1, you can skip Uncharted 1.
All right, okay.
Watch the cutscenes on YouTube. Well, I'm saying to anybody who's listening. Uncharted 1 is not.
That's what I've heard, is that Uncharted 1, you want story, not necessarily the gameplay.
Yeah, the gameplay's pretty terrible in Uncharted 1. Not terrible, just it's got the first game syndrome of it's pretty repetitive and boring and not very well put together. But we're not talking about games from 5 years ago, we're talking about games from
right.
This
so, yeah.
This one is Saints Row the Third.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were at E3, and I think both of us were kind of skeptical about that game. Saints Row 2 was a lot of fun, but it seemed like the direction they were taking in was just kind of crazy. But Sean, you went over there and saw that, and after that, I could tell you're just, like, really psyched about being able to play that game.
They're taking it even more in the direction of crazy, but it looks like it'll be a very, very fun crazy.
That works. But yeah, I'll go ahead and
it's for me.
I'll go ahead and share my big gaming titles of the holiday. Besides Ratchet and Clank All for One, which my friends have forced me into spending my gaming dollar on. Not that I wouldn't anyway, but that's it's already well established. You know, I'm most looking forward to Skyrim. But also Mario Kart 7. I don't know if any of you guys are into that, but I just like Mario Kart games, and I'm going to buy them all the time.
I'm a little worried about it.
Yeah, well,
looks a little too Mario Kart Wii.
Yeah, well, I think definitely they're working based on that sort of formula. And I think there was a misconception for a while, because definitely it seemed like they were saying that, you know, Retro Studios had a hand in its development. But then, you know, over the past couple weeks, they've just kind of shown, like, oh, there's a Donkey Kong level that Retro Studios made. So it's like, okay. Which is fine, I guess. I mean, I don't really care that Retro Studios designed the Donkey Kong level. It's not like, you know, they've made one Donkey Kong game. It's not like they're experts at Donkey Kong. But,
They made one great Donkey Kong game.
there were some pretty good Donkey Kong games, especially EAD Tokyo. Oh, yeah.
I want a Mario Kart level that's based on the original Donkey Kong game.
I'd love
how that would work.
Up a series of ladders.
Well, you'd go down a series of ladders and then have obviously just be lifted up to the top and go down. You can't go up that thing. You can't lift up ladders. That wouldn't work. You can totally go down. That's a slalom course. I'd race that. But, you know, I would love to see a lot more of, like a Smash Brothers style take on Mario Kart, really playing up the fact that it's retro. They keep putting in retro tracks from old Mario Karts, which is fine. And those are good tracks. But, you know, I really think that they could play up a little more of the fact that, hey, we're Nintendo. We own, like, the 15 best licenses in the world. Let's use all of them.
So Super Smash Card.
I'm not going to get my hopes up, but I wouldn't mind at least seeing, you know, a couple cameo characters, unlockable. Even if it were like unlockable Link and Samus, just like hidden back there, just for people, you know.
Well, I'd love that if they could bring in, like, make it more of a Nintendo cart than a Mario Kart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't even have to do it. But like, for example, Super Smash Brothers put in Snake and Sonic. It was still, you know, a Nintendo All-Star game, but they just happened to have a couple other characters in it. I mean, it could still be Mario Kart. Just put, you know, just why not let you race as Kirby? Like,
you can be Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Also, that game is one of the worst racing games I've ever played in my life. That game is terrible.
Yeah, I sought that out intentionally. The second one's not actually that bad, but the original...
There's two of them?
Yes, there's Mario Kart GP 1 and 2.
Oh, God. I think I played the first one. Whatever one's at Dave & Buster's in Philly. And I played it with a bunch of... we were on, like, a comedy field trip for my friend's birthday. Like, our whole sketch group went out, Dave & Buster's. Yeah. And,
You know, it's part of that Triforce initiative where, you know, they exchanged some licenses with Namco and Sega.
Yeah, and Namco worked on the game, too.
Right, and yeah, so Namco actually developed the arcade version.
That explains it.
Have you ever tracked down F-Zero AX, the arcade version of F-Zero that Sega made for the Triforce machines?
I looked for that game for years, and I've never been able to find it. That was the one where you could put your GameCube memory card in it.
Right. And well, I think you can with at least one of the Mario Kart games, but it didn't unlock very much, if I remember correctly. But with F-Zero, it was like a whole bunch of stuff you could get if you did that, and that was just an amazing racing game.
Yeah.
Anyway,
has there been a bad F-Zero?
You know, I don't know.
Or the N64 one? Don't people hate that one? I never played it.
I know. I think some people like it.
There was an X4 one.
Yeah, F-Zero X.
Ah, X. Yeah, that's the one I.
Because it wasn't called F-Zero 64, so no one remembers it.
Yeah. Well, I know there was a big deal with the disk drive for that one that we didn't really get.
Oh, that's right, the 64DD.
Yeah. But yeah. So anyway, enough about old arcade games. Jerry, holidays. Games besides what you've played just now, like
I was looking forward to Rune Factory Tides of Destiny, but then Gameporium decided to break the street date, so now I already have that.
Okay,
what? You tell me what their store number is and who works there.
I'm pretty sure the official street gate
and how do I
got
get
changed to Friday? Just very late. That's kind of been an Asume thing where they make a street date and then they just start shipping it. And then whenever they arrive there, it's like, oh, well, I guess today's the street date. Usually it's 2 or 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I got the phone call from Gameporium telling me, oh, the game's going to be out Friday. And I'm like, Friday? But isn't it? Doesn't it come out the 11th? And why no? It's there Friday, so I already played it.
You got to get down on Friday.
Besides Broken Street Days, I'm still looking forward to a PSP game of all things.
Hey!
Yeah, the PSP still isn't dead. Fate Extra.
Oh, yeah.
What do you look forward to about that one?
It's an RPG based on an a game license that the game's been out for like quite a few years now. Pretty much dead hopes on it ever getting localized in the U.S. and here comes Axis Games. Since we already gave the second bravest publisher in America.
Okay.
Team in America.
Gotta get in line.
And they say, hey, we're localizing the game. And we're also localizing a visual novel in the U.S. And I was like, what?
What do they have to do to be the bravest publisher? What do they got to do to compete with XSEED? Somerbringer? Do they have to bring over Somerbringer?
I don't know. They'd have some...
Pandora's Tower? They got to do Pandora's Tower.
Mega Man Legends 2.
Mega Man Legends 3.
3. No, you know what? I'll say 2 because I friggin' can't find 2. So any way they can bring it to me, would put them in my book. Actually, I love that.
Mother 3, they could do it. Mother 3, done.
Yeah.
Yes. Axis Games.
Besides Fate Extra, I'm the fighting game junkie. So Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Right. Do you feel a little dirty for buying that at launch?
Not really. I mean,
you should.
People tell me I should be, but I'm the opposite. I'm actually excited that the game is getting more support that quickly.
Yeah, you know that is one thing we've kind of gotten frustrated with being gouged with releases like that. But one, you know, Capcom fighters were always like that. There were like 14 different versions of Street Fighter back on this, you know, the SNES and Genesis and arcade, and mm-hmm. you know that was kind of the normal thing. And also, you know, even though that could be downloadable content now, you know, just a few years ago, even like, for example, the PC model with expansion packs, like that, you know, you'd buy the game, then you'd buy the $40, $50 expansion pack. I feel this is a similar thing, that it, you know, it's really giving you a lot more. And I do feel bad that the people who spent the money on the original version have to pay equal amounts for a standalone expansion, but
thing
that's
is,
how it goes.
I actually don't think some of the changes made for Ultimate Marvel could have been done with DLC, because DLC mostly just lets you either patch over things, but it doesn't actually let you go deep into the engine and fundamentally change things.
That's true.
Which is something that Ultimate Marvel does, and you know it's not something that could have been done easily with DLC. Plus, if you go by the pricing model that they did for the current original the current DLC characters, I like the $40 package much better than getting a charge like $5-$8 for like 12 characters.
Sure.
Are they doing another special edition? Because the first one had a pretty cool special edition, and I'm a sucker for those.
Yeah, but I actually passed on that one.
All right.
So,
Matt, what are you looking forward to with your gaming dollar this holiday?
Probably the number one is Uncharted.
Okay.
Because I love me some Uncharted. Jeez, I still play Uncharted 2 periodically online. The first one, like, I you know that I have very, specific picky tastes with video games where, I don't even need to go into that, but, you know, just like, I cannot think of a time where I bought a game brand new. Well, I don't really know much about it. Like, I bought Uncharted the day it came out. I didn't pre-order it. I was just like, oh, this game's out today, and I went out and I bought it. I brought it home, and it friggin' blew me away. Like, I loved it. I thought every single bit of it. Like, the game knew escalation perfectly. It knew character and themes, and just, like, everything that I want out of a game was done in Uncharted as well as it could have been. And, the third one just looks like more of that. Like, everything I've seen so far, it looks like a fun action movie. It looks like it's going to have some kind of supernatural twist to it. The online, I already know, is friggin' incredible. Still got Nolan North doing the motion cap at the same time doing the way and the way that they make the game where they get actors who look like their characters and then do the mocap while they do the voices and actually act everything out so they're actually acting is amazing. And like it creates this you know, it just meshes the character's movement with what they're saying much better than any other game really does. Like everyone can say how great LA Noir looks, but it's super realistic heads on scarecrow bodies that are flailing in the wind. Like the way that their arms move and stuff, it never looks real to me. But I love everything about the way Uncharted moves, and I'm excited for the story. I'm excited they're bringing back Sir Francis Drake and putting him back into the lore. And I can't wait to see where Sully and Drake go in this adventure.
Yeah.
And I like that it's a new setting. It's not just another jungle. Like we're gonna be out in the desert.
Like that there's a distinct more increase in the. In the amount of Sully that we get in this game compared to Uncharted 2.
Yeah, he's in all the trailers. He's got awesome, like, he's got the line where he's, like, the city of gold or whatever he says.
City of immeasurable wealth.
If
I have one complaint over Uncharted 2 was that there wasn't enough Sully.
That's true.
Yeah, is it just me or is Sully just kind of, like, the awesome part of that game? Like,
Sully's
I don't know.
The raddest
that's
part.
Pretty awesome, too.
I don't know if any of you guys watch Burn Notice, but it just reminds me a lot. Of Sam Axe and just
Bruce Campbell
and anything, but like that character just seems like kind of like the same guy,
and
like,
he would absolutely
awesome.
Play him too. now that what's his name is dead, Duke from The Critic, he died today. But Uncharted, Skyrim, something else that I can't remember what my other... I have very few games pre-ordered. I wasn't going to buy Batman Day 1. Now that they announced Nightwing is a playable character, I have to, but I'm still mad about it because it's only playable in the challenge mode, not the actual game. I'm hoping they'll change that later and maybe like patch in so you can play as him in the game. Maybe record some new dialogue or something. But also, King of Fighters. There's a new King of Fighters game, and if you pre-order it, you get a 4-disc soundtrack. So go to my store and pre-order it, please.
Are there that many different songs in it?
It's got it's got music from the entire series.
Okay.
Like from the 15, 17 year old series.
Yeah,
and
there are 13 of them.
Yeah, and have you seen that's right. And have you seen videos of this game? It looks incredible.
No, it's a fighting game. I ignore those.
Oh, okay. I like fighting games. Wait.
I've seen it. It does look incredible.
Yeah, and the only thing that would make it better is if it had a visual mode where it looks like the Neo Geo Pocket Color King of Fighters games.
I agree. Every game would be made better with a Neo Geo Pocket Color mode.
Yep.
L.A. Noire needed a Neo Geo Pocket Color mode.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Yes. aside from that, I don't think it counts, but Valkyrie Chronicles. I'm going to buy that soon.
No, don't think so. It's about time, and I applaud your purchase. But, yeah.
Fortune Street,
I am taking you down.
No, you won't. I'll be taking you down. The slimes will win.
See, this is weird, because Nintendo has made a game with online multiplayer.
That is not Mario.
They've made a game with online multiplayer. How long has that been? And it's basically... I don't know if you've seen any of the Itadaki Street games, but it's basically, I mean, it's kind of Monopoly-ish. It doesn't have quite as, I mean, there's random dice rolling, but there's a little more actual strategy and choice involved rather than just kind of like roll dice until you win or lose kind of thing. We have sworn that we are taking each other on when that game comes out at the beginning of December, right?
Looks like December 11th, yes.
Yeah, so, I'm taking him down.
Yeah, I kind of forgot all about it, but I'm also looking forward to Skyward Sword and Kirby.
Oh, yeah.
Right! Oh, gosh, I mean, Skyward Sword's gotten a lot of, you know, a lot of press, and it's getting a lot of hype, but, you know, Kirby's Return to Dream Land is a solid, solid game. I mean, it doesn't have that, doesn't have that newness to it that Epic Yarn did, but, you know, if you've ever played Kirby games, like any of the GBA ones, if you've played them together, multiplayer, but this is just designed for that.
I'm looking forward a lot more to new Kirby than I did to Epic Yarn, if just because a Kirby game that borrows more from Superstar is more my thing.
That's true.
I haven't seen much from the new Kirby game. Is it fast or slow Kirby?
It's kind of slow Kirby, but it's because there are four people on the screen. I mean, you can play one player, but it's you know, it's like New Super Mario Bros. Wii meets Kirby 64.
Okay. Yeah, because Kirby 64 is what I think of when I think of slow Kirby. And then, like, Superstar on the Super Nintendo is fast Kirby. You know
I think it's a medium-speed Kirby. Okay. It's a little slower, but there's a lot more going on the screen. Just,
I'll take it.
You know, yeah. On that note, seems like a good time to end the podcast. All right, guys. For Matt, Jerry, and Sean, I'm Graham, and see you next time.
Listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast, find us on the web at snackbar-games.com.